Hey, 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 welcome to a new episode of Superhero Deep Dive. What a great episode I've got scheduled for you today. This lady is crazy, but man, she's got so much potential and she legitimately freaks me out a bit. Let's get into my disclaimers. Let's get a random fun fact out of the way, and we will start talking about Typhoid Mary. So, the information is pulled from different sources across the internet and may or may not be completely complete, but they do give a really good insight on the current superhero. You can catch me every Tuesday and Thursday throughout the day online at Outworld Fleet Radio. Their website is outworldfleetradio.online. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok and YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Please comment, like, subscribe, share, all that good stuff with YouTube. It would really help me out. I love growing the community. I love having conversations when people comment on the deep dives about what they would do with the character, or if they have requests for future episodes. I'm 100% about it. I love that. I also post superhero memes daily, which are pretty funny, so you should check that out as well. And if you ever want to email me directly, you're more than welcome to. My email is b4itall@yahoo.com. Like I said, you can email me questions, comments, facts I may have missed, things you would do with the character, and we can have private conversations about that. Or you can send in requests for future episodes. I actually just got a couple of requests for like Spawn and Lobo, and I'm really excited to tackle those pretty soon. Those are probably going to be in the next few weeks. So yeah. All right, are you guys ready? Let's get a random fun fact out of the way related to Typhoid Mary, but not including her. So, superhero fun fact. You may find it hard to believe that Daredevil, who was created in the 1960s, served as an actual prototype for Batman, a character who has been around since the 30s. It's actually true, though. Like, the original Batman comics were very lighthearted and goofy. They were very much in the vein of, like, the Adam West show. It wasn't until Frank Miller took over that Batman adopted his Dark Knight persona. Before he began writing Batman comics, though, Miller worked on Daredevil, transforming him into one of Marvel's most popular characters by incorporating darker themes and storylines. Essentially, Frank Miller used his experience from writing for Daredevil to mold this version of the Dark Knight. That's pretty cool, right? Like, excuse me. That's pretty awesome. Now, let's get into Typhoid Mary. Her real name is Mary Alice Walker. Typhoid Mary is an enemy and former lover of Daredevil with low-level psionic powers, including telekinesis. She has been a professional criminal employed by organized crime syndicates as an assassin in the past, and she's also gravely mentally ill. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're like, why are you going into villains? It's because Typhoid Mary's freaking awesome, and I'm going to start covering some of the lesser-known villains as well because there's a lot of crossover with it, so... You know, that night I've done 150 episodes. I need more material. All right, so born Lila, she grew up somewhere out in New Mexico and ran away from home to escape an abusive father. She came to New York City hoping to become a dancer or an actress, but she instead started working for a brothel frequented by criminals and organized crime. Her condition was accidentally caused when Matt Murdock had tracked a villain down to the brothel where Mary worked. Matt attacked the men, but surprisingly, the women working at the brothel surrounded and attacked Matt. Because that's his client, their clientele, right? Like, they're protecting them, I guess. So panicking, Matt lashed out, knocking Mary out the window. It was at this moment that she somehow became Typhoid Mary, and vowed no man would ever hurt her again. In later appearances, however, she would imply that she was a victim of child abuse. Now suffering from dissociative identity disorder, Mary Walker has three other abnormal personalities in addition to her seemingly healthy one. Her Mary personality is timid, quiet, and pacifist. Her Typhoid personality is adventurous, lustful, and violent. and her Bloody Mary persona is brutal, sadistic, and misandrous. Mary once claimed that there was a fourth personality who was lost, but has not since been mentioned. Aside from highly developed martial arts skills, she also possesses telekinetic powers and, more dangerously, pyrokinesis, the ability to set people or objects in her immediate vicinity on fire. In her first appearance, she met Matt Murdock, who was hired as an assassin by the Kingpin. She then first battled Daredevil, and while beginning a romance with Murdock, she temporarily reverted to her Mary personality, but then reverted to her Typhoid personality and began a romance with the Kingpin. She hired Bullet, Bushwhacker, Ammo, and the Wild Boys to attack Daredevil, and then personally led these criminals against the blind Vigilante. How do you pronounce that correctly? Okay. A favorite pawn of the Kingpin, Typhoid frequently battled and had a love-hate relationship with Daredevil before disappearing. Through hypnosis, the abnormal and psychotic personalities were suppressed from Walker's consciousness, and she began to lead a normal life, becoming an actress on the soap opera. As she was sent by Dr. Doom to learn the secrets of chameleon technology from Power Pack during the Acts of Vengeance, and she was subsequently in the Kingpin's employ once again and met Bullseye. She helped thwart an attempt on the Kingpin's life by Crossbones, and at one point, as she struggled to keep her multiple personalities under control, she befriended Mary Jane Watson and battled Spider-Man when Bloody Mary resurfaced and began killing men who committed domestic abuse. I mean, part of it is like, you can't blame her, but yeah. Now, with the Web Slinger's help, Mary regained control and voluntarily turned herself in to the police for treatment. At one point, Mary was confined to a mental institution where each personality hired a mercenary. Mary hired Deadpool to take care of her. Typhoid hired Deadpool to break her out, and Bloody Mary hired the Vamp Animus to break her out to resume a killing spree. Deadpool defeated the Vamp Animus but refused to kill Mary, allowing the Typhoid personality to become dominant. Typhoid and Deadpool had a few adventures together, including traveling to New York City to confront Daredevil for accidentally kicking her out of the brothel some years ago. And at this point, she had regained the memories of this incident when Deadpool pushed her out a window. Like, can you imagine being pushed out a window and you're like, whoa, deja vu, right before you hit the ground? Now, before Deadpool attempts to reform Typhoid, this did not go well, though, and the two eventually separated after she took advantage of Deadpool while disguised as Siren from X-Force. I think we did a deep dive on her. Pretty sure we did. I don't know. 150 of them. Goodbye. All right. Following a series of events involving the Kingpin, like the fall from power, subsequent near-death coma, recovery, rising back to power, and taking out enemies to retake the criminal empire, the Kingpin distracts Daredevil by paying a visit to Walker at her show and with a blunt slap release the abnormal personalities. Dang, that's all it took? All right. Alright, now Murdoch's bodyguards, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones, managed to take her down after she confronted Daredevil's secret identity and set the man on fire. Mary was imprisoned on a maximum security prison for superpowered criminals. Electro later led an attack on the raft, breaking out the prisoners. While the Avengers arrived and managed to stop some of the prisoners, Mary managed to escape and was briefly mentioned as once more working for the Kingpin. At some point after the Superhuman Civil War events, she is found and recruited into Henry Peter Gyrick's initiative program as Mutant Zero, although her true identity was kept secret from her teammates. It's unknown whether she suffered some sort of psychotic episode which left her too unstable to be left to her own devices, or whether she sought out treatment and joined on her own free will. Now, Gyrick reveals that Mutant Zero is a mutant that not only remained empowered following M-Day, but one that is not included in the official record of the remaining mutants. So technically, not existing in any official capacity, her true identity is made classified as she is given the Mutant Zero codename. That's pretty interesting. But it makes sense. She would be classified as a mutant with her powers, and no one actually put it together. I'm learning something new even after I write this. All right. According to Dr. Leonard Sampson, Mutant Zero is still mentally unstable, and that referencing any of her other identities could lead to a period of instability. Mutant Zero is inducted into the Shadow Initiative, which is the initiative's Black Ops team, but she can only be activated once permission due to her mental instability. When Taskmaster is appointed as the Shadow Leader's field or Shadow Initiative's field leader, Taskmaster senses something familiar about Mutant Zero's body language. And this is thanks to Taskmaster's superhuman ability of like a photographic body mimicry, I guess. But it initiates an impromptu sparring match with her to satisfy this curiosity. After witnessing her fighting style and provoking her to use pyrokinesis, Taskmaster shatters her helmet faceplate and reveals her true identity. As the Shadow Initiative prepares to capture Hardball and Madripoor, Mary reveals that the reason why she joined the initiative is because she couldn't merge or block out her four personalities. So she offered to work in exchange for a pardon and to help integrate her fractured mind, which is still a work in progress. During the Shadow Initiative's fight against Hydra, Mary loses control of her personalities, having spent too much time in the Zero Room, and flees into the wilds of Madripoor. During the Shadowlands storyline, Mary answers Daredevil's call for superheroes to join the Hand in providing martial law for an ever-increasing area of New York City, which is probably Hell's Kitchen because that's where he stays. She claims that her time in the initiative was successful in integrating her fractured mind, but Daredevil does not believe her. Following the war, Kingpin, using a secret code word to activate her fourth personality, reveals that she was actually an inside agent who was ignorant of her true goal all along, so kind of like a sleeper agent. Typhoid Mary joins the Sisterhood of Mutants as Lady Deathstrike promises to use Archaea to reintegrate Mary's personalities, which Archaea then does. The Sisterhood, specifically Archaea and Amora, resurrect Selene and Madeline Pryor. Before the Sisterhood can recruit additional members and go on an offensive, the X-Men attack. Typhoid Mary is defeated by Psylocke and Archaea is killed while Madeline swears to remain or to maintain the Sisterhood and continue the war against the X-Men. And during the Infinity War storyline, Typhoid Mary is among the villains that accompany Turk Barrett to a meeting with the Infinity Watch at Central Park. So, yeah, what a crazy history. What a crazy history. And this is kind of why it freaks me out, because she's constantly trying to integrate her personalities, but they usually end up separating. I mean, I don't know. And some of them are just really sadistic. So this is going to lead in. But I want to know, what do you think of Typhoid Mary's personalities? Like I said, you can email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive, and YouTube and TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive, where I would love it if you shared, commented, liked, subscribed, all that good stuff. Let me get into her powers. Now, Typhoid Mary is a mutant and possesses a number of limited psionic powers. She can use telekinesis to levitate small objects over short distances, such as weapons of under 10 pounds like knives, razors, etc., which her Bloody Mary persona often gathered and assembled into improvised battle armor. Wow. She is also a powerful pyrokinetic, meaning she can cause spontaneous combustion within line of sight to set objects in her immediate vicinity aflame. She can implant mental suggestions in the minds of others. She can also use her psionic hypnosis ability to induce sleep in weak-minded individuals and most animals. Certain individuals are mentally resistant to her hypnotic powers, though. However, She has three separate personalities as a result of her mental illness. The timid pacifist Mary, which has no psionic abilities. The typhoid personality who has the full range of the psionic powers, and which are strongest in the Bloody Mary personality. And her original Mary Walker personality is supposed to be a balanced mix of all these, but it's seldom dominant. Because of the different heart rates and voice patterns of her different personas, not to mention the different ways of dress, even Daredevil's super senses were long unable to tell the different personas, as they all belong to the same woman. And she took advantage of this situation to hide from Daredevil and Matt Murdock, even within earshot. That's pretty interesting, and I like that. As Mutant Zero, Mary appears to possess the same psionic powers utilized in both Typhoid and Bloody Mary. It's unknown whether the powers Mutant Zero possess are equal to or stronger than those, but recent battles suggest that they are maybe more powerful, but take their toll on Mary when used as a result of the strength. Mutant Zero is also equipped with a suit of full body armor that appears to enhance her physical strength and an arsenal of weapons, including guns and various blades. Now, Typhoid Mary is also in excellent physical condition. She has sufficient reflexes to block and direct bullet attacks back at its shooter, and she's has peak human agility and is highly athletic. She's also trained in the martial arts, particularly judo and kendo, and she has exceptional skill in wielding and throwing bladed weapons and is usually armed with a variety of machetes and smaller knives. So she's pretty deadly. Like, she's deadly. All right, let's get into some fun facts. In an alternate timeline seen in the House of M storyline, Typhoid Mary appears as an assassin of Wilson Fisk. In the parallel dimension seen in the miniseries Mutant X, Typhoid Mary is a member of the Avengers. She's later taken care of by Captain America while battling the Six. Typhoid Mary appears in Avengers Assemble. This version is initially an inmate at the Vault before eventually becoming an enforcer for the Red Skull. Additionally, a pirate-themed Battleworld incarnation of Typhoid Mary appears in the episode The Vibranium Coast. Mary Walker appears in the second season of Iron Fist, portrayed by Alice Eve. This version is a former special ops soldier whose dissociative identity disorder was triggered after her squad was ambushed in Sokovia. While she became the sole survivor, she was held captive, tortured, and taken advantage of for 2 years before managing to escape. Additionally, she is aware of two personalities, the kind and friendly Mary and the malevolent fighter Walker. Okay, which, with an unnamed third personality secretly manifesting later in the series. After Walker is hired by Davos and Joy Meacham to spy on Danny Rand, Mary tries to warn Rand, and when Davos steals Rand's powers, Walker betrays the former to help the latter defeat Davos. Walker later discovers the third personality has begun operating as a vigilante serial killer. Wow. Now, Typhoid Mary, referred simply as Typhoid, appears in the Elektra movie. This version is a hand assassin able to generate lethal poison through her touch or breath, and a former martial arts prodigy called the Treasure, who is jealous of Abby Miller. The new Treasure, while attempting to kidnap Miller for the hand, Typhoid and her fellow hand assassins run afoul of Elektra. Following several fights, Elektra eventually takes care of Typhoid, who disintegrates. Whew! Typhoid Mary appears in The Amazing Spider-Man vs. the Kingpin. This version was one of Kingpin's personal bodyguards. These are video game appearances on this one. She makes a cameo appearance in the Punisher video game. This version is the Kingpin's loyal enforcer. And she's also a playable card in the mobile game Marvel Snap. So, there's that. And she's pretty cool. But before we get into anything else, let me get everything, I guess all my information out one more time before we get into final thoughts. All right. So, like I said, you can always email me directly at b4itall@yahoo.com. You can catch me on Twitter or X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. You can catch me on TikTok under Superhero Deep Dive, and I'm on YouTube under Superhero Deep Dive. Please find me on YouTube. I post superhero memes daily. Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. It really does a lot to help me out. It's enough. It may not be a lot for you. For me, it helps out a lot. All right, my final thoughts on this character before I wrap this Mama Jamma up. Typhoid Mary was always a character I had like a genuine fear of. She was edgy, overtly sexual, which makes it really difficult as a teenager to get caught reading. And she seemed to have her own sense of humanity, which made the character a little bit more real than she probably should have been. Like, she was always unsettling to me, and I used to actively avoid stories with her as a character. Now that I'm a bit older, a bit wiser, and not as easily scared, I have a great idea for Typhoid Mary. Like, I love psychological thrillers. I love them even more when they don't necessarily have a happy ending. Like, I want to see Mary go through the torment and the twisted being of her developing her powers, dealing with the multiple personalities, and then maybe finding a way to coexist and work in tangent depending on the situation. Like, I would love to see her switch between the personalities to be able to throw off the police and stuff like that, you know, because one personality may purposefully not know what the others are doing just so they can't be caught on the polygraph. Like, she's got three main personalities. What if they just kept the Mary personality? Like, we are going to shut you in a closet until we're done. That way you have no idea what happened. And then they go do their stuff, and when cops find them, they switch back into Mary. And Mary's like, I really don't know. And they're like, we'll hook her up to a polygraph test. And she's like, I really don't know. And it's like, yeah, she's telling the truth. I think that would be pretty cool. But I want to see her like run roughshod on the city with no real direction and purpose aside from the pure anarchy of it all. And if you think about it, she's got the potential to do something like an evolved version of the Joker, which I absolutely love. The Joker has been one of people's favorite characters ever since he got a little bit twisted, like, and not as campy. Because there's something about the Joker that stays in the back of people's heads. Like, man, what if I lost it? Could I do this? She can. And she can do it with some powers. Now, casting. I immediately thought of Jenna Ortega for this role, but that may be a little bit too predictable or cliche. So let's try someone else. Have you guys ever heard of Mackenzie Foy? Well, she's about 23 years old now at the time of this recording. So she's at a good age to be like an older teenager, young 20s. She originally played Renesmee in the Twilight movies. I'm not going to hold that to her, or like hold it against her. She was also in like a version of the Nutcrackers that showed out in theaters. Like, she's pretty good. But she's got a good look. And I think even with something like this project, even despite their track record, their style of movies, I think Sony could even handle this pretty well. Like, I think they could do a pretty good job on it, just from the dark, edgy nature that they try to put things in. This doesn't have to be associated in the MCU. It can be its own standalone movie, but man, it could be an amazing movie, especially if you dig into that dissociative identity disorder. But that's what I got. I would love to know what you guys think. Let me know. I'm on X and Instagram under Super Deep Dive. TikTok, Superhero Deep Dive. YouTube is Superhero Deep Dive, where I would love it if you commented. There we have a discussion. We open it up to everyone to kind of build on each other. All I ask is you be respectful. And if you want to email me directly, you're more than welcome to it. B4itall@yahoo.com. But that's going to do it for me this week. I hope everyone is blessed. I hope everyone is happy. I hope everyone is safe. And I hope everyone is smart. But if you're not smart, don't get caught. All right, guys. Have a good one. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.